John's Gospel, chapter 8, commencing at verse 1. Says Jesus went out onto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him. And he sat down and taught them, and the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses and all command us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast the stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Dear loving Father, we just thank you, Lord, that we can approach thy throne in prayer. And Lord, your word reminds us that, Lord, you're a rewarder of them that diligently seek you. And Lord, you've encouraged us to come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy to find grace to help in time of need. And Father, as we come now to the meditation of your word, we just pray that you would speak to each and every one of our hearts. That, Lord, you would take that and graft that word and place it in our hearts today. Lord, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But Lord, we can say with assurance that the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than a two-edged sword. The psalmist could say, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. And Lord, we can say, Lord, the Lord is that hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. But Lord, today I pray for fresh cleansing in the blood of Jesus. Lord, I pray for a fresh infilling of God the Holy Spirit. And I pray now that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in my sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Of course, the message of Easter is a message of transformation. It's a message of changed lives. And you know, I want to speak this morning about this sinful woman who met the forgiving Saviour. And you know, the story that we've read this morning in God's precious word, it concerns a sinful woman. A woman who was in the very gutter of sin. A woman who had given up all self-respect and was living a very openly sinful life. Now, I know if some Christians were looking at this story through 21st century Christian eyes, perhaps some would say that this is a no-hope story. Perhaps there's others who would say that this lady had brought shame on herself, and that's all very true. Others might say that she had brought shame to her family, and that's also true. But you know, there's a main character in this story, and it's the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. And while the Lord doesn't condone this lady's sin, because he doesn't do that, but yet he reaches out in love and in mercy, and he says to this lady, in words that should be written in letters of gold, verse 11, Neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. Neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. I wonder, did you know that this passage that we read this morning, on Easter Sunday morning, is quite a controversial passage? Why, some of the early church fathers doubted whether this passage had actually been included in the canon of Scripture. Some of the early theologians thought that perhaps the Lord Jesus Christ was being too lenient to this lady, or to be being seen to be too forgiving. But aren't we so glad all Scripture is inspired by God? And the same love and mercy the Lord Jesus Christ was able to show to this lady, thank God he's been able to show to us also today. Just want to leave some simple thoughts with you from God's precious word. The first thing we want to see this morning is the blessing of sins forgiven. The blessing of sins forgiven. The psalmist David could say in Psalm 32, listen to these lovely words, Blessed or happy is the man whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. But here's a question for you on Easter Sunday morning. What's the greatest thing in all the world? Is the greatest thing in all the world riches? Is the greatest thing in all the world fame? Is the greatest thing in all the world power? Someone once said that to live for riches is to die and to leave them all behind. To live for fame is to die and to be forgotten. To live for power is to die and to lose it all. But you know, to live for Jesus Christ is to have everything that this world has got to offer. You see, the greatest thing in all the world is to know that our sins were forgiven. And that's the message of Easter today. To know that our past sins, which are many, to know that our present sins, which are many, to know that our future sins, which are many, are underneath the precious blood of Jesus. Here's another question this morning. Why could the Lord say to this woman in this passage, "Neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more"? Well, it's very simple. You see, after this encounter that the Lord Jesus Christ had with us, really, the Lord Jesus Christ would be very soon going to the cross of Calvary. We would very soon have the very first Easter. You see, it's the cross of Christ that makes us safe. And it's the blood of Christ that makes us secure. We read that chapter this morning from Isaiah chapter 53. And you know, 700 years before Christ went to the cross of Calvary, it was as if the prophet Isaiah was transported to that wonderful place. What did he say? In that fifth verse of Isaiah chapter 53, he said these words, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." Do you know this gospel that we present today, Lauren, on Easter Sunday morning? I tell you, it's almost too good to be true, but thank God it is true. Here are our sins this morning, which are great. The Bible says where sin abounded, his grace does so much more abound. What does Calvary mean to you this morning? Do you know what Calvary is? Calvary is an instead of me sacrifice. Calvary is an instead of you sacrifice. Blow for blow. Lash for lash. Curse for curse. Jesus bore it all for you. And he bore it all for me. Harry Ironside was a wonderful Bible teacher of a past generation. And old Ironside said that outside the inspired words of Scripture, perhaps the greatest words that ever were written were the words of a hymn. Let me quote them to you. "My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul." Can you imagine that lady coming out of the temple that day? That she met the Lord Jesus Christ. Her life being changed forever. Of course, that's what the Bible teaches. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. But can you imagine this conversation that perhaps took place between this lady and her friends? Maybe some of her friends would say, "Well, you know, what's happened to your friend today? Why the change in her life?" Maybe that sinful lady's reply went something like this. "You know, I met the Lord Jesus Christ today. He's taken my sins away and my life will never be the same again." The joy of sins forgiven. Here's a wee word of encouragement this morning on Easter Sunday morning for the Christian. You see, when we come to the Lord and ask him for forgiveness in our lives, when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, I want you to get hold of this morning. What the Lord Jesus Christ offers us is total forgiveness. Total forgiveness. Do you know, as a young Christian, I used to wonder what the Lord had done with my sins. I wonder if you ever had those thoughts in your mind. Where are our sins this morning? Do you know, when we come to Christ for salvation, based on that finished work of the cross, you know, the first thing that the Lord does with our sins, He removes our sins. He removes our sins. Isn't that a wonderful thought, believer, this morning? As far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed our transgressions from us. And not only does the Lord remove our sins, but something else the Lord does. The Lord forgets our sins. That wonderful thought. You know, maybe some other people, maybe the devil would like to bring up our past sins. Maybe there's a believer here this morning who's discouraged and you say, well, could the Lord really have forgiven me? Thank God the Lord forgets your sins. The Bible says your sins and iniquities, I will remember no more. Not only does the Lord remove our sins, not only does He forget our sins, but something else. He buries our sins. He buries our sins. The Bible says, I will cast all your sins into the depths of the sea. Susan Trolland was a worldly young lady before she got saved. And you know, the devil used to remind Susan Trolland of her past worldly sinful life. Susan Trolland used to say, could it really be true? Could I really be forgiven? Could the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ, could it really avail for my sins? You know, as a discouraged young believer, many years ago, Susan sat at Remore Head in Portrush. I'm sure you know the scene so well. And you know, she began to look at the mighty waves rolling and crashing round about her. And she began to think of the forgiveness of Jesus. Could it really be true? Thank God it is true this morning. I know she began to write these lovely words. Susan wrote, I will cast into the depths of the fathomless sea all thy sins and transgressions, whatever they be. Though they mount up to heaven, though they sink down to hell, they shall sing in the depths, and above them they shall swell. All my waves of forgiveness, so mighty and free, I will cast all thy sins into the depths of the sea. I tell you this morning, on Easter Sunday morning, we're the happiest people on God's earth, because blessed is the man whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. The joy of sins forgiven, something else this morning. I want us to look at the hypocrisy of a self-righteous life. The hypocrisy of a self-righteous life. But we're just taking our eyes off this sinful lady, or this sinful lady, just for a moment or two. And we're getting our eyes on these men folk who brought this lady to the Lord. Look with me at verse 6, if you have your Bible still open, John 8, verse 6. And it says, this they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Do you know, this is the only record that we have in Scripture of the Lord Jesus Christ ever writing anything down. I wonder what he wrote. I wonder, did he write the sins of these men folk? Is that what the Lord Jesus Christ wrote on the ground? Or I wonder, did he write names of these men who had also been in a sinful relationship with this lady? I wonder, is that what the Lord Jesus Christ wrote on the ground? But whatever the Lord Jesus Christ wrote on the ground, we can see from this passage that these men folk went out. These men folk remained unforgiven. They didn't need a saving encounter with Jesus Christ. Perhaps we could write over these verses concerning these men, deeply religious, but deeply sinful. Deeply religious, but deeply sinful. Isn't there people in Lorne like that? I'm sure there is. There are people we meet on the journey of life. We seek to witness to them. And do you know, if you engage them in conversation, you soon begin to realize that they actually think that they're too good to be saved. Blinded by religion. Blinded by good works. Blinded by church membership. Blinded by charitable giving. I wonder whether there be anyone here this in their service this morning, and that would be you. You say, Joseph, I come here every Sunday morning. I come here every Sunday night. I'm deeply religious. But I'm deeply sinful. The Bible says that all our righteousness are as filthy rags in His sight. And even at our very best, we could never be good enough for heaven. I challenge you this morning. If you were to stand before God before this day is over, and you might. And the Lord was to ask you, why should I let you into my heaven? I wonder what your answer would be. I tell you, if your answer is anything other than you're depending on the finished work of Christ, if your answer is anything other than you're depending on the blood of Jesus, I tell you, you need to run by Christ today. The Bible says, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, thy will give you rest. Religious but deeply sinful. Charlotte Elliott was a religious young lady. Her brother was a minister of the church. Charlotte Elliott sang in the choir. She taught in the Sunday school. She was involved in all the departments of the church, but she wasn't a Christian. But you know, a gospel mission came to Charlotte Elliott's brother's church, who was the minister, and the visiting evangelist was staying in the manse where Charlotte Elliott also lived. Being a religious young lady, Charlotte Elliott went to the mission every single night. She enjoyed the services. She enjoyed the singing. But you know, after one of the services, when they were sitting in the home, sitting in the manse, the visiting evangelist asked Charlotte Elliott a very pointed question. Now, here's the question. Charlotte, are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? And it was Charlotte Elliott, she was taken back by that question. And she said in so many words to the visiting preacher, don't you know who I am? My brother's the minister, I sing in the choir, I teach in the Sunday school, I'm involved in all the departments of the church, and you ask me if I'm a Christian? And you know, Charlotte Elliott went away very hot and bothered with that question. She began to realize, for the very first time, even though she was so religious, it didn't make her a Christian. She began to contemplate it. And she went back to the visiting preacher, and this is what she asked him, how can I come to the Lord? How can I come to the Lord? What a question. And the preacher said to her, Charlotte, you had just come as you are. That's what she did. And you know why? Of that salvation experience, she wrote these wonderful words, you know them so well. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am and waiting not, to rid my soul of one dark blot, that thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. The joy of sins forgiven, the hypocrisy of a self-righteous life. But something else I want us to see in this passage on Easter Sunday morning, I want us to see the motivation to live a holy life. The motivation to live a holy life. Remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said to this lady in verse 11. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Every one of us, perhaps we know this morning, that it's not possible to live a sinlessly perfect life. All we have to do is to look into our own sinful hearts. But I tell you, it's gloriously possible for the child of God to sin a lot less. To know that victory over the world, the flesh and the devil. They have victory over the lust of the flesh, the lust of the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Robert Murray McShane said these wonderful words, prayed this wonderful prayer. What a prayer it is. Lord, make me as holy as a forgiven sinner could be. Lord, make me as holy as a forgiven sinner could be. Warren Mercer, the great commentator, said this, and I quote him. The greatest exhibition to a sinful world is a separated Christian life. There's a challenge for us this morning, isn't it, those of us who are saved? Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. You know, the Bible teaches us, believers, this morning that we're living our life in two different ways. On the journey of life, we're living our life on a foundation that's built on wood, hair, stubble. You say, what does that mean? You know, a Christian life that is built on wood, hay, and stubble is a Christian life that at the very last will count for very little. It's a Christian life that's taken up with the passing facades of this life. It's a Christian life that's taken up with the passing moments of this life. I wonder how you're living your Christian life today. I wonder, when we stand before the Lord, will we wish we had given Him more? Do you know, there's a verse in the book of Revelation I've often contemplated, I've often thought about it. Perhaps in its primary application is a verse about heaven. And it says in the book of Revelation, when we get to heaven, that God shall wipe away all tears from our eyes. You know, I've often thought, is it because in that day when we stand before the Lord, that many of us will be so ashamed on that day? So ashamed of our Christian life that we'll be under review on that day? That the Lord will have to wipe away the tears from our eyes. But you know, we can build our Christian life on another foundation. The Bible talks about gold, silver, and precious stones. You say, what does that mean, Joseph? I tell you, that's a Christian life that counts for God. That's a Christian life that counts for God and for souls. I wonder what you'll have to offer the Lord in that day. You see, that's a Christian life that's taken up with prayer. That's a Christian life that's taken up with witnessing to those around us. You know, just a couple of months ago, maybe just a year ago, I buried a man in Ballybean from that awful disease called cancer. It comes to many of our homes. Thank God that man made it in time. But you know, just after about 2 months after I buried that man, who was in his 70s, then his own daughter, just 51 years of age, take the same incurable disease. I tell you, it was a real tragic moment in the family. But you know, she didn't know what to do, and this lady Jacqueline, she wasn't saved. We were able to walk and journey with that lady over the 8 months of her illness. Able to visit her in the hospice, able to visit her at home. But you know, just about 2 months before she got saved, I got a phone call. She said, "Will you come to see me in the Ulster Hospital?" I went up to the Ulster Hospital, and you know, we read the scriptures with Jacqueline, and we told her of her need of salvation. And this is what she said. She says, the reason why I've called you to come to the Ulster Hospital is this. I'm scared to die. I'm afraid to die because I'm not ready to meet God. I don't know if anyone's been saved in that new part of the Ulster Hospital, but there's a lady who's been saved that night. Wonderfully transformed, just like this lady. Wonderfully transformed by the grace of God. You know, I said to Jagley, "Now you need to confess Christ. You need to tell others." This is where I'm coming to the point of the story. You need to confess to Christ to others. And you know, she began to tell the doctors as she got saved. And she began to tell the nurses, and she began to tell others, anyone that came to see her, she told them that she put her faith and trust in Christ. And you know, that lady Jacqueline, in just two short months, she witnessed for Christ perhaps more in those 2 short months than many Christians do in a whole lifetime of service. For every one of us this morning has been called to be soul winners. And the Bible says, "He that winneth souls is wise." Do you know, we have a lady in Ballybean, just an ordinary lady, and she fills her car every Sunday night with unsaved people. Isn't that a wonderful thing to do? And every one of us this morning has been called to this great task of winning souls for Jesus Christ. I tell you, the night's coming, and the day's coming when no man shall work. And thank God this morning, this is our opportunity. This is our season. And every one of us this morning, we've been called to the kingdom for such a time as this. The motivation to live a holy life. I wonder this morning how your Christian life is this morning. You know, the Bible says, "Let your light so shine before men, that men may see your good works, glorify your Father, which is in heaven." I tell you this morning, it's the witness of the Christian that tells so much in the salvation of perishing souls. Jo I have sins forgiven, the hypocrisy of a sinful life, the motivation to live a holy life. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Let's pray this morning. Father, we pray this morning that you would speak to each and every one of our hearts. We thank you, Lord, today that we are the most happiest people on God's earth today. We thank you, Lord, we've been to the cross of Calvary. And Father, we pray, we know that our lives will never be the same again. But Lord, maybe there's some this morning. Maybe there's one this morning who's never put their hand into the nail-pierced hand of Jesus. Pray that, Lord, they would seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Maybe there's someone this morning who used to walk with Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, this country is full with backsliders. Once I used to walk with Jesus, but Lord, something has come in. We pray today that you would restore unto the years of the locusts of Eden. But Lord, we pray for those of us who love the Lord this morning. We pray the Lord our love for Christ will grow brighter. And Father, you would revive each and every one of our lives today, Lord. Father, we pray that, Lord, we would live holy lives, lives that would bring glory and honour to the one who gave his life for us on Calvary Street. But Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.